Amen. Lob den Herrn.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
So gut.
It is so good to see all the saints together,
zu haben,
to have fellowship with one another,
und zu hören, was der Herr zur
and to hear what the Spirit is speaking to the churches.
Es ist ein Riesenunterschied, ein großer
Unterschied. It's a huge difference. If it's the Lord speaking to me, or if it's a message from a brother that I heard. If you hear, or if you realize after a meeting that God has spoken, then something would change within you. But if you say, oh, what Toby shared was really good, thank the Lord, then the danger is great. That it will soon be forgotten. And that I would not take it seriously because I would think, okay, I don't think it'll happen to me like it said in his word. But if God is the one who speaks to me and says, repent, and I don't do it, what will be the consequence? Then it'll really be a serious consequence. That's why in these days it's become important to me to not listen to man. My prayer is that we would all hear God directly. My prayer is that after each meeting we would be able to say, the Lord spoke to me. The Lord spoke this and that to me. This has to be the goal of this conference. That God would speak to us directly and personally. And it's a personal thing. That's why he always says, he who has an ear. We all have two ears. But what do we hear? You can hear so many things. You can listen to the news. You can listen to entertainment. You can listen to everything at your job from morning to evening. But we want to give both of our ears to the Lord that he can speak to us so that he can change us. And I think it is really important, and I know in my life that that I need a lot of change. I cried out to the Lord, change me thoroughly and in a deep way. It is really too little what I have of you, and I am not like you. The standard that you have, it is so far from how I live today.
And
we have heard this standard that God has towards us, and he always had this standard for his people. That the first and greatest commandment is not a new commandment. It's the oldest commandment. And in Deuteronomy 10, it already says, in verse 12,
und nun Israel, was fordert der Herr, dein Gott, von dir?
And now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? It's not just a suggestion. It's a requirement. This is a huge difference. If my boss says to me, does he say, if you have time, you could do this for me? Then it's not priority number one, then it's further down the list. Then I can also do it next week. But if my boss comes to me and says, tomorrow, I need this diagram, then at that point, I have to leave everything else and just work on this diagram. That's a requirement. It's not a recommendation from a God to us to love him with our whole heart. It is actually a requirement to love him with our whole heart. That's a huge difference. God has the right to require this of us. Or do we think it's too much that he requires this of us? And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. This is what God requires of us, to love him with all our heart and to serve him with all our heart. If we ask ourselves, is he requiring too much of us? Then the question is, well, what has God done for us? God did everything for us. None of us would be here without God. God created the whole universe, the whole world. He created us. I tell my boys at breakfast quite often, they don't know if they want to pray or not at breakfast. And I tell them that we have food on our table and that we're sitting here and that we're living. Whom do we have to thank for this? And then they know, and we also know, everything comes from God. Everything. And if we see the creation around us, everything has been created by God for us. There's no one who loves us more than the living God. No one. And the greatest proof and evidence of this is that he sent his son for us and that he gave his son for us on the cross. There's no one who loves us more than the living God. And he even gave us his son. So, how do we see this commandment now? To love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul. In Mark, it says with all our mind and with all our strength, with our whole strength. Is this too much that he demands of us or requires of us and even desires of us? It is actually too wonderful that he desires this of us. If we love the Lord and stand with him in such a way, we are the most blessed people of all time. It's really true. If we love him with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind and all our strength, this is a blessed man, he who loves the Lord in such a way. And we can read in the Word how much he blesses those who love him. So, everything that takes us away from this love and the away from God is foolishness and actually is the devil himself. Paul spoke to the Corinthians. He fears lest somehow, like the serpent deceived Eve, he fears that the enemy would also lead us away from the simplicity that is in Christ. Saints, it's a battle for our hearts today. It's a battle for the best love. And I think we can testify of this. It is a fight. It's a battle. This best love, to keep it for the Lord, is not something that will just fall into our laps. No. It's
war.
If when we become believers and experience his love, then everything else is really dung. As I was awakened by the Lord over 20 years ago, everything landed in the garbage. Only the Lord was important. And I couldn't imagine how man could consider anything else as more important than Christ. This was over 20 years ago. The question is, what's today? What is it like today? And not how will I be tomorrow, but what is it like today? Where is my heart today? Where's my heart now where I have an apartment, I earn money, where I can spend things on the things I want to spend my money on, where I have a wife, I have kids. I also have many demands. There's pressure at work, pressure at my in my family, difficulties. In every aspect of our lives, we have difficulties. What does my heart look like then? Is it still fully for the Lord, burning for the Lord, like it was on the first day? Or do I have so many worries, so many obligations, or so much enjoyment, or so many duties in life that I have gathered that I don't have time for the Lord anymore? That I just don't have the time to come to the Lord. Yeah, when should I pray? 6 o'clock, the kids are there, and then the boss comes, and then in the evening, then I spend time with my wife, and then I have to think about what should I do with my own life. Oh, where's the first love? Where's the best love? If it's day in and day out, this is a huge test for our hearts. It's a very big test for our hearts. And we read Matthew 24 before. We just read verse 12, but I want to read verse 13 because I think they belong together. He talks about the lawlessness that will abound. And then it says the love of many will grow cold. Many. I don't want to look out towards the outside. I want to look at my own life and see how it's among us. How burning is our heart for the Lord? How undivided is our heart? Do I still burn with my whole heart for the Lord concerning what he wants to do today? And verse 13 says, but he who endures to the end, enduring in what? Enduring in the best love to the Lord. This is the context in which this verse is written. That he who endures in the best love to the end. And there's only two possibilities for the end. One is I die, or the other one is that the Lord comes. So we don't know when, which one will come, but it can come quickly. No one has his life in his own hands. That's why it's important for us to ask ourselves, is my heart 100% for you? 100%? Is it burning all for you alone? Or have I already made like a pie chart out of this that 30% is for work and 20% is for my enjoyment, 40% is my family, and then I have something else, and then 10% is for the Lord. Yeah, my house. Oh, my house also needs 30%. There's so many things. My health. You can even be very captured by the concerns about our health. What kind of water do I drink? What kind of bread do I eat? And then every time we talk about our health, the Lord wants 100% of our heart for him. That doesn't mean I don't care about earning money, about caring for my family, to be able to support others so that I can be appropriately dressed. No, everyone who loves the Lord with his whole heart needs to pay attention to these things. For our hearts. I don't want to judge other people. I'm asking the Lord for myself in these days. Lord, is my heart 100% with you? Is it undivided? Is my heart burning in love for you more than it ever burned before? Or Has there been a time in my life where it burned more for you than today? And if I can answer the question with yes, there was a better time, then there's a second message. Repent. This is what the Lord has spoken to me so often in these days. Repent, turn back, get done, get rid of this pie chart in your heart. Make your heart fully for me, regardless of what comes up in life. Because he who endures to the end, and the end is not yet there, so he who endures to the end shall be saved. And I think it's very sovereign of the Lord that this is written to the church in Ephesus. Because I think we know the most about this church when it comes to the seven churches. Paul served in Ephesus for many years, and he had such a heart for this church that he brought all the elders together at his last visit. And he spoke to them in a very strong way in Acts. And he warned the stars, pay to yourself and to the whole flock, because the church was on his heart. And if you read Ephesians, you see what kind of vision there is in this epistle. The epistle doesn't talk about many problems. The epistle doesn't talk about problems that they were having, like conflicts in Corinthians. It starts with how the triune God wants to fulfill his plan on this earth. How can this epistle begin in such a way? It can begin in such a way because the church was surely in a wonderful condition at that time. He couldn't have written the same thing to the Corinthians because their condition didn't match this. But in Ephesus, the condition must have been very special. That's why the word Ephesus means desirable. And I think it would have been wonderful to be in this church. And this word Ephesus also has a second meaning. And the second meaning is, it's a warning, letting go, to become negligent, to become loose. And the two meanings in this name is a message in it of itself. Regardless of how the condition was before, if it was desirable, if it was pleasing to him, then there's always the danger and the battle that that we would let go, we would become negligent, that we would become those who rest upon what was. And then what comes after that? The works remained. Toby mentioned these 10 works. There was so many good works. And this shows that the Lord really loved them. He saw what they were doing, but in everything that they had done, their true inward condition was covered by these works. They didn't recognize himself anymore. And he had to tell them, you have left the first love. If he says you left the first love, it depends on me. It's my fault. To lose something, it's not necessarily my fault. If the key gets lost, I didn't want it to happen, but it got lost. But if I leave something, then it was my choice and my fault. And if my heart is not 100% for the Lord and burning for the Lord, then it's my fault. It's not his fault. The Lord never said to us, oh, I don't want to have fellowship with you anymore. I don't want to see you anymore. I have other things to do. You have been forgotten by me. No, it's my fault. It depends on me. I wasn't paying attention. I became loose. I didn't take care of the temperature in my heart, of how much of my heart is for the Lord. Where do they let go? Where do they become negligent? In No. They stopped eating. That's where they decreased. That's where they let up and eased up. I can preach the gospel. I can come to the meeting. I can invite saints. I can take care of practical things. But the true question is, how often do I eat the Lord during the day? How effective is my eating of the Lord? Because the solution for Ephesus was that he who overcomes, I will give him to eat of the tree of life, which is in God. So that means they forgot to eat. So what is it like with us? How important is it for us to eat the Lord richly? Not to just eat him a little bit. Last year, there was a conference in Korea. And it was asked, how often do you eat? How many times a day do you eat? 3 times a day, 4 times a day, 5 times a day, breakfast, then like a snack, then lunch, and then in the afternoon, another snack or coffee and something with your coffee, and then dinner. We take care of eating a lot. Yeah, even with lunch, preparing it and eating it and then cleaning up, then it's 2 hours that's gone from the day.
If it were
my choice, I would just eat in 10 minutes and be done with it. That's also not healthy and reasonable. But the question is, how much time do I take to eat the Lord? How come I don't arrange my day in such a way that I would eat a lot of the Lord in the morning? Why can't I go to bed earlier so that I have more time to eat him in the morning? Why does everything have to remain in my life as it is today? Why am I so stuck in my habits, in my daily life? And the Lord says to me, eat of me. And I'm not diligent or zealous to say, oh, what can I change in my life so that I can eat more of the tree of life? If I don't care and I'm not willing to change things in my life, I can't be an overcomer. To be an overcomer, I have to rearrange my whole life, everything. It's not so easy to eat of the tree of life because Satan fights against this. Look at Adam and Eve. Satan really fought against this, that they would eat of the tree of life. And Paul uses this as well as an example to show us you Corinthians are also being led away by the enemy to eat of the tree of life and thereby also to leave the first love. So if the Lord requires the first love from us, what stirs up this first love in us? He shall be like an apple tree among the trees. Oh, is my beloved. The Lord is an apple tree of which we can eat. And what do? I sat in his shade. The love of the Lord was awakened by the eating, from eating of the tree of life. By eating, the first love will be awakened again. So let us really rearrange our lives so that we would have more time for the Lord to eat of the tree of life. So Let us really pay attention to this.
Das ist so wichtig.
This is so important. Only by this will our first love be awakened again. And in verse 4 of Song of Songs 2, it says, He brought me to the banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. Sustain me with cakes of raisins. Refresh me with apples, for I am lovesick. How can we become like this? We can only become like this if we truly enjoy the Lord. Yeah, I have made it more my habit to eat the Lord in the morning, to eat Him also at noontime, to eat the Lord in the evenings. Not just to eat the Word in the morning. Why should I just eat once a day? I eat physically 5 times a day, but I eat only once a day spiritually. What's more important, the Lord or my physical bread? The first love or my own stomach? If we want to be overcomers today, then we have to eat. This is really closely connected to one another. So let us really experience the Lord in a richer way. So read Song of Songs again to see how this food is related to the first love. Let's not just read it, but let's do it. It doesn't help us to just have a conference, but what will make us healthy is to come back to the tree of life, to come back to our beloved, and to set this in the first place above everything else in our lives. In Revelation 10, the Lord also gave John to eat. In Revelation 10:9, it says, take and study it? No. I think we often hear a lot about the meaning of the word. Yeah, what does this mean? Yeah, how should we understand this? How should we understand that? But in my heart, I thought, the question is, not if I understand the word, but if this is my only question, then I will not be spiritually healthy. I will become sick. I can understand everything, but I will be spiritually sick. The question is not how should we understand the word. It should be that we eat the word to live because of it. It says, take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter. And this bitterness in our stomach means that the food works. If you eat healthy food, then you stay healthy. 2 years ago, I changed my eating habits, and I've remained healthy. It's a wonderful thing to constantly fight with my health. It wasn't because I took expensive medicine or drugs, but I changed my diet and I took the right vitamins. And I daily supplied myself with this. And that's how I remained healthy, physically speaking. So spiritually speaking, we shouldn't have just morning watch and then go away. And then the Lord will not be able to gain us for Himself. But it should make us, our stomach, bitter. Yeah, the word should have an effect in us. The word has to work in you. The repentance has to work. If my repentance has no effect, then it's not a true repentance. And how do we see that repentance truly works? That means that my highest priority is the Lord at every time. My strength, my thoughts are with the Lord. What do I want to give my strength for? Not to gain something at work. Oh, but to, yeah, serve the Lord and gain the Lord. What do I want to give my time for? My thoughts for? Not to take care of my apartment, but to build the house of God. And this repentance, it's not a superficial repentance. If we go to Joel, I really repented a lot to the Lord in these days. And I have to say it's not that easy. It's not, oh, I repent, I turn to you, give me the best love. Amen. And then the first love was there. No, that's not what it was like. Not at all. It meant for me to go to bed earlier, to train my kids. My daddy is not available until 7 a.m. because he has to go to the tree of life. You have to rearrange your whole life so that we can be overcomers. It shouldn't just, it can't happen just on the side. In Joel 2, verse 12 and 13, now therefore says the Lord, now we still have the time. We don't want to end up like Ephesus. Ephesus didn't make it to repent. The church in Ephesus didn't. That shows it's not easy to repent. Yeah, to repent from a big sin is easier, maybe. Well, maybe we shouldn't say that, to come away from fornication, from addictions, from passions and different things. It's a battle and we need this repentance. But to have the repentance to come back to the first love is also something that really needs our entire heart. And he says, now, therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. This is not my word. It is God's word. We shouldn't give up so quickly. But we should come back fully to the Lord. Yeah, we do a lot for the Lord. Everything looks so good on the outside. We serve, you're present. But that's not the question. The question is, does the Lord say to me, you are fully for me? Is my heart fully for the Lord? That's the question. And it says, so rend your heart. That's a strong sentence. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Yeah, this soul is to help us to repent now and starting from now to do the first works. If we repent now, the question is, are we still in the first love after 2 weeks? And it says, I will come quickly and take away the lampstand from you. So that means the fall happens very quickly. That's why it's necessary for us to repent daily and with our whole heart, with our whole soul, with our whole mind and all our strength. And for this, we have the tree of life. Yeah, may the Lord encourage us and draw us in these days and let ourselves be examined by him and give our lives completely to him and to say, Lord, how can I rearrange my life? What do I need to do so that the first love belongs to you and that the first works are there, namely to serve you and your purpose alone? And if we all have such a turn and turn daily, then all the seven lamps on the lampstand will be burning. All seven, not just one, two, three, or four, but all seven lamps will be burning. And this aspect of to have this daily is important because the lamps only have the capacity for one day. So every evening, more oil had to be poured in. This shows us that this repentance must take place daily. Every day, starting from today, let us return to the Lord with our whole hearts and stick with it and do the first works. And then we will all be saved. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for his encouragement and also his exhortation to all of us because he loves us. Praise the Lord.